You're listening to Very Thin Ice on WNBC. I'm Evan Rosenberg.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And this one's for the ladies. All right, this is WNBC. This is Very Thin Ice. This is Evan Rosenberg. That is Justin Eisenstadt.
Hi, folks.
That is Justin Eisenstadt.
And welcome to the show, everyone.
We are back after, a two-week hiatus. Yeah. Technically a one-and-a-half-week hiatus, if you consider when I uploaded the last podcast.
Hopefully everyone enjoyed your Thanksgiving Day.
And, while Thanksgiving is officially over, we're always willing to take things from you. As I make horrible noises by adjusting the microphone.
This is going to be one of those days, I think.
One of those days when you don't want to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Everything just seems like a dream.
I thought maybe you'd join in on some Limp Bizkit with me, you know.
If it's going to be one of those days, then I might have to.
You don't really know why, but you want to testify.
Yeah, well.
If you're stuck up, you just, lucked up.
Could you please not quote Limp Bizkit?
Hey, your best bet is to stay away, It's just one of those days.
This is going to have to be one of those moments where I do have to negate you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Limp Bizkit just begs to be negated.
Technically, to be perfectly accurate, I was going off of the Richard Cheese cover of Limp Bizkit.
Oh, well, you should have said that.
Yeah.
You should have mentioned that. That's perfectly acceptable.
Exactly. That may have been off of Lounge Against the Machine. I don't remember which.
I think that's the one.
That is a thing.
Yeah, you're right.
So today's topic is going to be TV shows. But before we get into that, it's time for a little apology segment I like to call Broken Promises.
All right.
Because, at the end of last episode, I did make a promise that I did not come through on. And I'm an adult. I'm willing to make light of that, even though nobody else has said anything to me.
Well, go ahead and refresh our memory, if you will.
Right. Because I actually did not prep you on what this topic was going to be about.
That's right. That's why I just kind of nodded in my head in agreement.
And yes. Because they can all see you nodding.
Well, they don't need to know that.
They hear the air whisking, through.
Yeah.
Exactly. That whoosh was it. Anyway, at the end of the last episode, I did say that we would have something up for, Thanksgiving week, a podcast about racial issues.
Right. You did. Affirmative audio.
I made that promise, affirmative audio, which is a pilot that I recorded, earlier this year, back in spring. And, it's great. I messed up, I had eye surgery last week, and that really threw off my schedule. I thought I was going to be able to take care of things, and I couldn't.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know you had that operation all, but I think people's Thanksgiving breaks may have suffered from the lack of Very Thin Ice in their lives.
I agree, and for that, I do sincerely apologize. And what I'm going to do is when I go ahead and upload this episode, so anybody who's actually listening live hears this promise. Anybody who's listening on the podcast knows I've already done this. When I go ahead and upload this episode...
You better have.
Well, obviously. If I haven't, I've just made an even worse liar out of myself. Then we'll have Broken Promises 2.
Well, okay.
The Breakening.
So what are you gonna do to remedy this for us?
I'm going to put up affirmative audio.
All right.
Affirmative audio will be up in the podcast feed at the same time that this episode is.
You're getting a two-for-one, folks.
You're getting a twofer.
Yeah.
That's two for week here on Very Thin Ice.
It is
all two for all the time.
Terrific twofers here on Very Thin
Ice.
Ice.
Yeah, that's the name of the show. Very Thin Ice.
Why? No alliteration in our name there, but
next time we come up with a name, maybe we'll have some alliteration.
Yeah, we have not used the name really. We've not really exploited the name. We've not really milked every.
Nah, I think we technically came up with it a day before deadline.
It worked, it's
Which,
worked.
To be fair, there's plenty of podcasts out there that came up with their name after they started. Jordan Jesse Go and Never Not Funny are two that come to mind, where in the first episode they were referring to it by a different title.
Really?
Jordan Jesse Go was originally Untitled Thorne Morris Project.
Okay.
And I believe their podcast feed still reflects this. And Never Not Funny, I want to say it was originally called Running Your Trap, the podcast. At one point, it was just referred to as a podcast, which that's still the website, podcast.com.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is the website. You're right. I think untitled Eisenstadt Rosenberg project wouldn't really have worked. But.
No, because there's no way I'm letting your name go first.
Well, yeah. Which is why we had to change the name, just so we also had to change the the whole setup there.
Right.
But if it was going to be an untitled project, I think my name would.
I don't know.
It's debatable. It's a debatable.
It is debatable. You know, it's not debatable because that would be a waste of time.
Right.
Instead, I'm going to talk about my eyes.
Let's hear about your eyes. So
you know what these eyes are doing? These eyes.
What are the?
Do 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 do.
They
are crying.
They're crying.
Do 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 do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Sorry. No, I had a eye surgery over the hiatus. This was last Wednesday. I had a procedure known as collagen cross-linking.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah. They've been doing it for about 10 years over in Europe. They've been doing it a few years here in the U.S. Everybody I tell, I had eye surgery, they go, oh, you got LASIK. No. Basically the opposite of LASIK.
Maybe LASIG.
LASIG.
If you watched last night's 30 Rock.
I did watch last night's 30 Rock, and I have to say, as somebody who just had eye surgery, I was
pleasantly surprised.
A little annoyed. They're like, oh, that's not accurate. Then I'm like, wait, I don't care about accuracy. Well, because also she made a comment about her eyes being too pointy for contacts.
Yeah.
Which isn't right. If your eyes are pointy, actually, you can only wear contacts. I know this because the condition that makes your eyes pointy is the condition that I found out I had.
This means not one but two sitcoms now are stealing your life.
Yes. I realize that, and we can talk more about that later.
I think we can talk about it later, but I think we even joked about it at the time that I think we were in the car or something, and I was like, what if other sitcoms start taking your life?
Yeah,
and like,
we'll get back to that, but let me talk about my eyes.
Yeah, by all means.
Yeah, so I've got a condition. Let me gloss through this quickly, because it's not all that funny until I get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a condition called keratoconus, means that my corneas are thinning over time, becoming conical. Sort of the way it works is that the cornea is made up of lots of layers. They've got things between them called crosslinks that hold them together. I've got less crosslinks than a normal person, so my eyes are shifting and becoming pointy over time. The cornea is thinning. By the time I'm in my 40s, I might need corneal transplants.
Rough.
Yes. Corneal transplants are not fun. Up until very recently, the only thing you could do was get a hard contact that would kind of push your pointy eye back into shape.
That doesn't sound comfortable at all.
And I've never felt comfortable in contacts anyway, so it was not a pleasant prospect.
I'm with you on that. I don't like things touching my eyeballs.
Yeah. But of all the contacts, there are hard contacts are the worst feeling because it's like a piece of glass in your eye.
Yeah. There's a feeling most people tend to try and avoid.
Right. So there's hard contacts. There's the eventuality of getting corneal transplants. There's something else called Intax, which is like a surgical implant you can get in your eye, and nobody seems to think that that's a good idea. I don't know why this exists if nobody thinks it's a good idea, but I got diagnosed, I looked up all the literature, and nobody said do that. So I didn't. Moving on from that, I found out about this procedure called collagen cross-linking, where what they do is, let me start with how they discovered this. They discovered that people with diabetes don't have keratoconus.
Interesting.
Because the extra sugars in their body get hit, especially, specifically in the eye, get hit by UV light, turns into these crosslinks.
Huh.
So they developed a procedure where they put riboflavin eye drops in your eyes and then shine UV light on them.
Riboflavin?
Riboflavin.
Now I'm interested.
It's a sugar, apparently.
Yeah.
That's the procedure. They essentially, recreate the environment of diabetic eyes.
Isn't collagen the stuff they inject into people's lips?
Yes. I'm not sure where collagen fits in. That's just the name of the procedure.
Okay.
CXL for short, collagen cross-linking.
Oh, okay.
But it's essentially the opposite of LASIK, because what LASIK does is it sort of shaves down the shape of the cornea, thinning it out, whereas collagen cross-linking strengthens the cornea.
Okay.
So the end result of LASIK, so you don't have to wear glasses. The end result of collagen cross-linking
is that
will be able to wear glasses.
Your eyes end up looking like Joan Rivers' lips.
Yes, exactly. And I can wear glasses, hopefully.
Yeah.
Now my prescription will change, so that'll be fun to deal with.
How's your eyesight right now?
Good enough to drive again.
Good enough that I don't have to guide the mic to your face,
right.
As we were worried about before.
Yes. Well, there is a boom there, and I kept telling you I don't want you sticking your hands in my face. But, moving on. The procedure itself, the way it works is that sort of the top layer of my cornea was taken off, which is the strangest experience I've ever had because, you know, you get surgery, you know, obviously there's general anesthetic where you just, you know, put out. But if you're getting local anesthetic, you're awake for surgery. You know, generally you're going to try to look away or, you know, whatever. Can't do that with eye surgery.
Yeah.
Eye surgery, it's coming right at you.
Oh, God, that's...
Yeah. I apologize if I'm weirding anyone out there. If you're squeamish, you might want to brace yourself for what I'm about to say, because I'm going to describe what it looked like.
I'm not squeamish about most things. This is one where I actually kind of... Things going into your eye is one of the worst things you can
watch. I know, which is
why
I'm trying to prep people before I give any description. It's not graphic. There was absolutely no blood involved. You know, nothing pierced the eye. So, you know, just you know, I don't want anybody to be worried that this is going to be incredibly graphic. But I do understand if you're a bit squeamish, you might want to brace yourself a bit. You know, just because I am going to describe it, what it looked like when they were taking off the top layer of the cornea. It looked like I had going into my eye three items, one after another. A dentist's electric toothbrush, and then two different paintbrushes.
Okay.
Now, what it actually was a tool that looks exactly like a dentist's electric toothbrush. that, you know, kind of, you know, sands down or shaves down the, you know, top layer of the cornea, followed by a brush shaped like a hockey stick that cleans it up, and then a spear-shaped sponge.
A spear-shaped sponge?
Yes.
That was literally the last phrase I was expecting to ever hear.
Yeah. That kind of, you know, finishes cleaning it up. So then it shaved down, and thankfully there were these wonderful numbing eye drops that I had in during the process, which I wish I could have brought home with me, because my eyes did hurt the next few days. And they're still not perfect. I still have, you know, some steroid drops I've been dropping in,
mm-hmm.
Which is why my eyes have an asterisk to them in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right.
Right. Just in case anybody was wondering.
Well, a little topical humor there.
Yeah. Hey, not very topical. And not very humorous.
It's a topic.
It is a topic. yes. But so that happened. And then the riboflavin drops were dropped into my eyes. And those are colored yellow. So I start seeing, you know, yellow around my eyes. After those have been, you know, dropped in for a bit, the UV light starts getting shined in. The UV light, you know, UV is an invisible, you know, spectrum of light to the human eye. But the light itself shined blue. So okay. What I'm seeing is a center of blue with a ring of yellow around it. What I'm told is that my eyes glowed green during the procedure.
Dude.
Yes. So I'm basically the Incredible Hulk now, I think.
If you weren't already, but...
Right. I wasn't already.
Okay. I mean, at one point during this, you know, this procedure, you're having gunk dumped in your eyes... spear-shaped sponges.
It's exciting, man. You know, it's the future.
Yeah, at what point were you just like, I want to be on the outside and see what this looks like. Just
from the very beginning. Did not want to watch, you know, the toothbrush going into my eye necessarily. But they told me beforehand that my eyes would glow green.
Yeah, like, I would totally want to be like, I'd be like, when, you know, after, you know, after you go on, you know, a ride at the amusement park, you can purchase the video.
Yes.
Of,
this was...
They did that with surgeries, too.
I had this done down at Washington Eye, down in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Great place, you know, if anybody... Let me put this out there. As I've, you know, been diagnosed with this and, you know, been going towards getting this procedure, I had this scheduled back over the summer. I've just been discovering more and more people who happen to have keratoconus and... thought that there was nothing, because like I said, this has only been an option for the past couple of years in America.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I hadn't even heard of that term before you told me about it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the collagen cross-linking people, you know, didn't think was an option. They'd just kind of given up on treating their keratoconus.
Yeah, weren't you saying, like, way back when you were first telling all, that it was like an experimental procedure and that they didn't even know?
It's not experimental, but it's only been practiced in the U.S. for a couple of years.
But has it been approved, like?
It's in the process of getting approved for wider release.
Okay.
It's approved for sort of like limited, you know, trials.
You know, limited select theaters.
Right, select theaters. It's an art house procedure.
Okay.
You know, but they're looking at wide release.
Okay. Looking I like art, you know, you can...
Yeah, but so in all seriousness, if anybody listening actually, has keratoconus, has a family member with keratoconus, wants to get more information from me, feel free to contact me. If you're listening to this, you ought to know how to contact me. So,
yeah.
Or shoot me an email at ev1@umbc.edu. Stick CXL in the subject line. If you want, more information, want me to, suggest doctors and stuff like that, I'd be happy to, help anybody out who's looking into having this procedure done. So I just want to toss that out there. But anyway, so the office I went to, the doctor's office, had just taken over an office the floor below them as well. So I was the first CXL patient in that lower floor, so they didn't have the camera set up yet.
Okay.
But the souvenir photos, I think by now they've got that installed.
Yeah, I can't wait to see pictures of you with green eyes.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, I had to
It'd basically
go back.
Be like every nightmare I've ever had coming to life.
Yeah, no, I know. I had a follow-up the next day, which was Thanksgiving, because I had this done last Wednesday. So Thanksgiving morning, I went back into the doctor's office pretty much blind.
Mm-hmm.
And then this past Monday, I had to go back in to have the bandage contacts removed, because since they took off a layer of my eye, they had to put on bandage contacts afterwards.
Okay, now how does a bandage contact work?
Much like a regular contact. Oh, right. It was clear, so once I could see again, I could see through it. And it just, keeps stuff out of your eye.
Okay.
But I had to get those taken off Monday. So I was back in again, and already they had started, decorating the office because it had been kind of bare bones when I had been there. So, I was one of the first patients in this office.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, yeah, there was a bit of recovery time here where I couldn't see. I was a bit blind. I went out to the movies while blind because that amused me.
Oh, okay. What'd you see?
The Men Who Stare at Goats, of course.
Not see.
Yeah. I did not stare at goats with The Men Who Stare at Goats.
I think you told me that the worst part of your weekend was not being able to read.
Yes. There's nothing funny about this. It honestly. And I was warned about this beforehand. The most frustrating thing about going through eye surgery was suddenly I couldn't read. I couldn't, day I could not, watch TV or play video games. You don't realize how much you depend on your vision until it's gone.
Yeah, I guess. Do you listen to a lot of recordings?
Listen to a lot of podcasts.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta give a shout out to whoever you were listening to helped you through that period of time.
Right.
Well,
a lot of Never Not Funny, a lot of The Best Show.
Okay. So
mostly what I listened to during the time. 40-Year-Old Boy as well.
All right. So, yeah, thanks to Jimmy Pardo.
Thanks to Jimmy Pardo, Matt Belknap, Mike Schmidt, and, of course, Tom Sharpling.
All, it is almost as if they're sitting right by your bedside just talking into your face.
They were. That's why I had to put in the headphones so I could ignore them and actually just listen to the podcast.
Oh, okay. Don't you just hate it when the podcast hosts just show up at your door?
Tell me about it.
All right.
So, blinded with science this past week, so too will you now listen to the song She Blinded Me with Science.
You
And we're back. That was She Blinded Me with Science by Thomas Dolby.
Yes, it was. Of course, I'm seeing much better now.
Yeah, no thanks to science.
Yeah, no thanks to science. Or much thanks to science.
However you want
to. One of the two.
However you want to look at it.
So, you know what time it is now, Justin?
Could it be time for tenuous grasp?
I wanted to say that.
Rewind.
Yeah, rewind. Hey, you know what time it is now, Justin?
I don't know, Evan. What time is it?
I don't know. I thought you were going to tell me. I messed up. Let's rewind again. Hey, Justin, you know what time it is?
I'm not 100% sure of what time it is. Perhaps you could inform me.
Well, I would love to, Justin. It's time for tenuous grasp.
Hells yes.
I know, right?
All right.
So, tenuous grasp topic for today. As I said at the open of the show before I went into Broken Promises, an apology, which is... The name of that introduction segment has now grown to contain a subtitle.
Our brand new apology-related segment.
One-off segment, because it's not going on every week, because I'm fixing things.
Well, we're pretty unapologetic, generally. So.
Well, generally, yes. Well, especially me.
Yeah.
Because I'm an asshole on the radio.
As
I've been told.
Glad you're comfortable with yourself.
Anyway, tenuous grasp. Topic on the table today, pitch us a TV show.
Okay, so...
I apologize that this is going to sound very cryptic, but...
Wow, two apologies in one show.
As this is like an actual serious project, I don't want to give away too much, you know, publicly before, you know, enough of the groundwork is laid. I'm working on a TV pilot right now. TV pilot that's probably going to end up going direct to web because we're not necessarily pitching it to anyone. But the whole premise is, you know, hopefully if we make something good, we can sell it down the road.
Well, yeah, web's the new TV anyways.
So. Yeah, well, exactly. But so I'm working on creating a TV show right now. But, you know, I want to hear other people's, you know, ideas, you know, pitch a TV show.
I mean, of course, from last episode, we had the, we've got the Gilligan's Island Lost crossover.
Right, right.
Gilligan's Lost.
Gilligan's Lost, yeah.
But, you know.
You know, what other TV show ideas do you have to pitch? You know, years ago, my close friend Scott, who, if you listen to the Juxtaposers podcast pilot, you remember him,
mm-hmm.
The one that we put up a few weeks back. You know, my good friend Scott and I had this concept for a TV show that never came to fruition, but it was great. It was, you know, just sort of like a, you know, buddy sitcom that involved, Scott and I were roommates in the show. And also, Scott owned a company that made plastic bags. And
I'm riveted already.
During every single episode, for some various reason, like this was like the gimmick of the show, every episode, for some reason, I would end up suing Scott about the plastic bags. But we were still close friends, but then we're involved in like really horrible like courtroom drama.
Constantly
as well.
Embroiled in.
Right.
Know.
Yeah, but we wouldn't take it home with us. Like it would be like a buddy sitcom, but then also courtroom drama.
Do you have a name for it?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't fully fleshed out, which may have been why it wasn't picked up.
Yeah, you know, the pilot's everything, man.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's just like, you know, just like my show that I'm also considering, it's two guys who host... A radio show.
Oh yes, go
yeah.
on.
One's kind of a he's a guy with a deep soulful voice.
Oh really?
Who kind of a bigger fellow, and he's got a friend who's kind of a little spunkier dude.
Right, right.
And they host a radio show.
Okay.
But then in their free time they fight crime.
Okay.
And also, help they also audit huge corporations and help take down white collar criminals.
So this is a reality show.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's loosely inspired by, historical events.
Right.
Historical figures will show up every now and then.
Abe Lincoln?
He's historical.
He is an I'm just going to start naming historical figures. Abe Lincoln, Joan of Arc, Benjamin Franklin.
Yep. Joseph Stalin. These are all in the pilot.
Yeah, these are all historical figures.
So let me just recap here. It's two radio show hosts who fight white collar crime with the aid of historical figures
and audits.
And they run a small tax practice out of
We're talking about tax audits here.
Yeah,
I thought maybe we were going with maybe like FAR CAS type stuff. You know, doing some government procurement regulation audits.
Well, you know,
I thought we were talking about maybe the, like auditing for, the Defense Contract Audit Agency, working off of the DCAM, the Defense Contract Audit Agency audit manual.
Well, we do, but it turns out in the pilot that they're corrupt.
Contract audit manual.
They're corrupt, so we have to take them down from the inside.
The DCAA is corrupt?
Yeah.
We have to take them down from
the
inside?
The organization that's in charge of auditing other organizations, we have to audit it.
This worries me because this is a reality show.
Yeah.
I said earlier that I watched The Men Who Stared Goats over the break. Watched is a bad word. I listened to in the theater, The Men Who Stared Goats, because I was blind. I have to say, coming from the background of working in government contract compliance, which is the background that I come from working in.
Well, that's why this show is.
Coming from that background, every time they talked about, spending money on various things involving, the Jedis, quote-unquote, which is what they called the people in this movie, I was very amused. I think I appreciated that movie on a level that many people may not.
I appreciated it on a slightly lower level, right. Which was just that it was kind of funny.
It was kind of funny.
But it's funny that you mentioned Jedi, because both characters are also, both the two protagonists are huge Star Wars fans.
Right.
So,
wasn't one of them in Star Wars?
He was kind of a background character, but yeah, you got to look pretty hard.
Right.
But
maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
He was actually one of the maintenance staff on the Death Star.
I was thinking about the prequels.
They didn't have the Death Star in the prequels.
No, I realized that there was no Death Star in the prequels.
Just making sure.
The plans for the Death Star existed in like Episode 2 or 3 somewhere.
Yeah.
But no, I thought one of the guys in The Men Who Stare Goats actually did play a Jedi in one of the prequel movies.
Oh,
I could be entirely wrong.
I wasn't sure what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I thought we were secretly talking about us.
No. You weren't in Star Wars. You've got a picture of yourself that you tape to the screen when you watch Star Wars that does not count.
It's just like Mustache TV.
No, it's not like Mustache TV.
I take
mustache
pictures
TV
of myself to
fun.
The TV and see where I fit in. And if I actually fit in the scene, then I get 10 points.
Yes, and you're playing by yourself, which makes it all the more sad.
I get a bowl of popcorn, glass of delicious cherry limeade, sit down on the couch, play Justin TV.
Yeah.
It's the hot new craze that's sweeping the nation.
So we're not talking about Justin TV anymore. If you want to call in and pitch a TV show idea to us, feel free to call in with the tenuous grasp topic. The number to call in is 410-455-2656. That is 410-455-2656.
Honestly, though, I don't know how you're going to top a show featuring historical characters, government contract compliance, and Jedi.
Oh, sure. Well, you may not top it, but... You can still come after it.
Yeah, you can still give us your ideas, but as far as I'm concerned, the book might as well be closed because
Right.
I just won tenuous grasp with that idea. I think.
Yeah, I think you lost with Justin TV.
you know you like it. All right, just.
Yeah, I don't know that I like it because I don't like it.
I'm here to tell you what you like, and what you like is Justin TV.
Yeah, again, that's just not true.
Give it time.
Sorry to negate.
Like
but
every good idea, it takes time to grow on you.
That's not how good ideas work.
I'm pretty sure.
Let's go out to some music, and we'll discuss this during the break.
A wise man once told me that good ideas are like a garden.
you told yourself that. You're not.
Like I said, a wise man once told me.
No, just no.
Is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cooling, all shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air." I begged and pleaded with her day after day, but she packed my suitcase and sent me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said, "I might as well kick it. First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass. Is this what the people of Bel Air living like? This might be alright. But wait, I hear the prissy bourgeois and all that. Is this the type of place that they just send this cool cat? I don't think so. I see when I get there. I hope they're prepared for the Prince of Bel Air." The plane landed, and when I came out, there was a dude look like a cop standing there with my name out. I ain't trying to get arrested yet, I just got here. I sprang with the quickness like lightning disappeared. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said fresh and it had dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, man, forget it, yo, home's the Bel Air. I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo, home, smell you later." Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
That was, of course, the full theme song, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Most people, you know, are only really familiar with the, you know, one that they played on TV, which was, you know, shorter than that. We'll talk more about TV themes later in the show. Yeah,
but we don't cut corners on this show.
You know, we don't, like Lido's Pizza, which I'm so excited that they're putting in nearby UMBC, we don't cut corners. I'm sorry, I really
enjoyed Lido's Pizza. Is that our plug for today's show?
No, well, it will be, but that'll be coming later.
I mean, I did just plug Cherry Limeade.
Yes, did you?
Minute Maid Cherry Limeade.
Okay.
The refreshing taste of a new generation.
What is with all these plugs? Are you on 30 Rock with Alec Baldwin?
I wish. I really wish I was. It's pop.
Apparently I am, because they're stealing, you know, episodes from my life.
Right. They're sucking out your soul.
Like that time I decided I needed to EGOT.
That was good.
Which, for those, you know...
How's that coming, by the way?
I'm working on it. I got the ego. I'll put that out there.
Evan puts the ego in EGOT.
I put the ego in EGOT. That is, of course, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Which is a prestigious, an honor that only a select few have achieved.
Right.
Whoopi Goldberg being one of them.
Apparently.
According to Lena, there's like 7 people who have achieved the EGOT, and 5 of them are black women.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think I know what I need to do to up my chances.
I think we do, too.
I need to fake the fact that I'm a black woman.
You need to rent a copy of Watermelon Woman, which is
that's just racist.
It's the movie Watermelon Man, right?
No.
There's another version called Watermelon Woman, which is just...
It's Alec Baldwin.
So, Alec Baldwin. So, we don't normally talk a lot of current events on this show.
No, we try to avoid it.
Yeah, if anything, we try to be as out of touch with reality as possible.
Well, I don't have to try.
That's true. We do or we do not, and we generally do.
Yeah. Carter's still president, right?
Right. Last time I checked.
Okay.
He was looking a little darker last time I saw him on TV, but
he got a tan.
Yeah, President Carter got a really really nice
president
tan.
President Carter got a tan. Okay, so Alec Baldwin.
So Alec Baldwin apparently, I heard this on another podcast that I listened to, Too Beautiful to Live, Luke Burbank.
Right, Luke Burbank. I've heard before both on Jordan Jesse Go and on, I believe I heard him on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I have not listened to Too Beautiful to Live yet. It's on my list to get around to. I just have a backlog of other stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's a great show. It's an hour show that updates 5 days a week. So he works. He's a hardworking man. And this week he's been talking about this latest update with our good friend Alec Baldwin.
Right, our close personal friend Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, we play squash with him. So apparently Alec Baldwin is announcing that he's planning on retiring from acting in come 2012.
Come 2012?
Right.
December 21st?
March 2012, he's going to wake up and say, what am I going to do now? Am I done? He may finish a play or something, but he's retiring at the rap party.
Wow.
Apparently 30 Rock's ending in 2012, so.
Well, that's upsetting.
Yeah, I don't want it to end.
Yeah, why does it have to end?
Justin,
why does it have to end?
Yeah, I don't know, man. In the words of Matt Glassman,
why does it have to end? I only say that because I know he listens.
He listens. He may not be willing to say his name.
He may not listen by name.
But he listens.
He's an anonymous listener.
Other
shows have anonymous contributors. We have anonymous listeners.
Yeah. So not only is Alec Baldwin retiring, apparently, but apparently he feels his entire movie career has been a failure.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this is after this voicemail message that he left got leaked out or whatever.
Yes, and, the infamous voicemail message.
Well, he was saying, like, you know, the goal of every actor, you know, is to eventually star in a movie and be the driving force of that movie. Like, the goal of an actor is to have a role so pivotal that it defines a movie.
Right.
And I guess Alec Baldwin has not achieved that, at least in his eyes.
I guess I can't think of, like, the movie that Alec Baldwin defines, but he's a wonderful actor.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he doesn't have too many leading roles.
He has had plenty of leading roles. Maybe not recently, but he's had tons.
Well, the one role that just comes to mind, the last movie I remember seeing him in was in The Departed.
Right. It was great in that.
Yeah, it was great. He's been great in everything I've ever seen him in, which is why
I love him, you know, in his many appearances in Saturday Night Live.
He's like one of their, like, most recurring hosts on SNL.
Yeah, I think Steve Martin might beat him out. But Steve Martin, John Goodman, and Alec Baldwin are all up there.
Yeah, he's got to be up in the top five at least.
No, he's absolutely top five. I think he's probably top three.
Yeah, I was watching. I believe that. I was watching an interview I saw online of the cast of 30 Rock. Like, they're asking Tina Fey about getting Alec Baldwin. And
right. Well, that was always my impression, is that, you know, he's essentially like a, you know, honorary cast member of Saturday Night Live, and so when they grew out a bunch of Saturday Night Live cast members, that's how he came along.
Yeah, well, she was, like, afraid to ask him at first, but, you know, she and then Lorne Michaels were like, you know, after one episode of SNL, they're just like, he's here, let's go ask him. And that's probably been one of the best things he's done for his career.
You know, I have to say, speaking of current events, I've been worried about him leaving 30 Rock with the whole news that NBC is being bought by Comcast.
Yeah, I just heard about that yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know when that was announced.
I heard it a few days ago.
Okay.
And my first reaction was, what does this mean for Jack Donaghy?
It's you know, though those guys at the top tend to be pretty comfortable. Like, whatever happens,
I'm sure Jack will be fine, but is he going to leave the show?
Yeah. Well, he lost his job once already.
That's true.
When he had to go work for that government agency. Which agency was he working for, do you remember?
Department of... Home game.
Whatevs. Matthew Advantage. Broderick was there.
Department of Home Field Advantage. That's what
okay.
It was.
And you know, he had that. That was a whole like arc was him, you know, scheming to get his job back. So honestly,
and then having gay sex with Dick Cheney.
Well, you know,
I'm
you
just
gotta,
saying
the guys. You got to do what you got
to
do.
Absolutely, but you know, don't make it out to be, you know, this wonderful thing. He did have to have gay sex with Dick Cheney.
Every star who's ever made it big at some point has had to have sex with Dick Cheney. It's one of those unspoken rules of the showbiz.
That's, you know, they call it, you know, the
sort of like how, you know, almost like,
you know what the French call it? The French call it la petite mort, because you die a little inside.
Thank you, resident French expert.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's just like how actresses, like most of them, you know, the big, you know, secret that they're all photoshopped, that, you know, they don't want you to know, even though it's common
they
knowledge.
They're all photoshopped. Those actresses don't exist.
Yeah, it's common
it's
knowledge
all
that they're all photoshopped. It, just like it's common knowledge that, you know, every great actor has had to have sex with Dick Cheney.
Yes.
Which may be why Alec Baldwin, come to think of it now, maybe that's why he's
he's retiring, because he's tired of having sex with Dick Cheney.
I would too, you know?
Yeah.
That's why
you know what? I've come to terms with it. I don't blame him.
That's why I'd rather be a big fish in a small pond than a small fish having sex with Dick Cheney.
Exactly.
But I think Jack Donaghy's smart enough. He's resourceful enough. I think he's just going to take over Comcast.
It could be. That could work. Or Shinehart. You know what? It'll probably be Shinehart. I mean, I'm speaking now. I'm spoiler alert, because this may actually be how they write it.
Yeah, well, apparently.
Potential spoiler alert. Shinehart may own Comcast as well as GE, and that's just how they write it.
That could work. I don't know.
Shinehart Wig Company, of course, the fictional parent company of GE on the show 30 Rock.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It really saddens me that Alec Baldwin is just, you know, has got so little self-confidence. Unless this is a ploy, maybe. Like, he's pulling a Cher.
Well, he's pulling a Cher, or it makes me think of when Stephen King announced he was retiring from writing.
Yeah, like,
because there's a difference between, you know, when you work down at the coal mill and when, you know, you're a creative type.
You know,
you work at the coal mill for 50 years, you retire, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just show up at various coal mills day to day to do gigs.
Yeah, coal
mill. But it's different
when
you're an actor, when you're a writer. You know, like Stephen King, he retired years ago, he still writes because that's what you do.
That's his life. Like,
you know, unless you retire Hemingway style, you're going to keep writing.
Is the classy way to go out.
Well, that's the way to actually retire.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you're a writer, you're going to keep writing, and, you know, you may not be signing any new, you know, contracts that require you to, you know, 3-book deals, but you're still going to be putting stuff out there.
Right. I mean, actors don't, you know, they're not, you know, they don't work 9 to 5. They don't have to punch a card.
No, they do have to punch a card.
At the acting mill?
Yeah, at the acting mill, yes.
Right. Well, you know.
Right next to the puppy mill.
Yeah. Well, it's a little different, I think.
Yeah. Only a little, though.
Right.
Only a little.
Well, the actor mill is where, you know, they raise actors in seedy conditions. And
right.
Then
the puppy mill is, you know, where puppies work in coal mines.
Puppy mill, yeah, you know, puppy.
Yeah. But, you know, so I do want to say to Alec Baldwin, I understand he's upset about that voicemail coming out, but there was one good thing that came of it.
Well, let me just...
Okay, sure.
I know what you're getting at here.
Okay.
I know what you're getting at.
Before I get there.
We had plans.
Yeah.
But I have to read this comment from Alec Baldwin, because this is what he's planning on. This is why he's retiring.
Okay.
Because he has to quote, "I have this silly fantasy," he says. "I get married again. I have a kid. I'd love another shot at that with everything I've learned. My kid's like 8, comes home and says, 'Dad, Jimmy's mom says you were a famous actor on TV and in the movies. Is that true?' And I go, 'Yes, Johnny, Dad was famous.' I whip out my scrapbooks and my DVDs and say, 'Believe it or not, that's your dad.' And my kid's like, 'You used to be on TV and everything? And now you stay home and just clean the house all day while mom works?' 'That's right, son. It's a dream that the kid doesn't know anything about that part of my life. Our normal life is uncontaminated by it.'"
You know, it's a sweet thought. I mean, I have to say, you know, they always talk about, you know, when you're famous, you can't stand it, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I absolutely understand what he's getting at there.
Alec Baldwin just wants to be a stay-at-home dad.
Well, really, he just wants to, you know, mooch off of, you know, his wife who goes out working.
Is he? I don't even know who he is. He married? Oh, he wants to get. He gets married again. So I guess he's not married now. But.
But all right. So there was one good thing that came of it, though. That was Alec Baldwin versus Stevie Wonder with I Just Called to Say You're a Rude Little Pig. So the one good thing to come out of that, you know, voicemail, you know, we love Alec Baldwin here. You know, when we were talking about what song to play for Alec Baldwin, you know, there's the Alec Baldwin is Worthless song from Team America. Yeah. And, you know, it's we like Alec Baldwin. We don't, you know, we're fine with making light of, you know, things that we enjoy and, you know, teasing things that we enjoy, but we don't want to be mean to them.
Yeah, so. even jokingly, I can't send that message.
If Alec Baldwin is listening and he did have a problem with us playing that, you know, we'd be happy to apologize to him in person. You know, you can just give us a call at 410-455-2656. Mr. Baldwin, we'd love to hear from you.
Or just, you know, give us your number and we'll just call to say we love you.
Yeah, we'll just call to say how much we care.
Yeah.
And we do mean it from the very bottom of our hearts.
Oh, yeah.
So
we actually wrote that song and just had Stevie Wonder sing it for us.
Yeah, well, we weren't supposed to say that because, you know.
Oh, really? I thought that was part of the contract. Was the stipulation that we had to.
That we wouldn't say it. Not that we had to say it, that we wouldn't say it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, there was some ink blot, yeah. You know, on the papers.
It's okay. We've been over this before, though.
All right.
Anyway, though, moving from one sitcom we love, 30 Rock, to another sitcom we love, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And boy, is it ever.
It is. What a great show.
It's just gotten, you know, the show just got better and better and better and,
It was a funny little show, and then they added, you know, Danny DeVito, who I'm convinced is not actually human. And anybody who's seen the Christmas special, especially the couch scene of the Christmas special,
I haven't, so I don't want you to give anything away.
Any spoilers, but if you've seen the couch scene of the Christmas special, you will probably agree with me. You know, anatomically, he is not human.
I mean, I was already convinced of that.
Yeah,
but,
this is the nail in the coffin.
Further evidence,
right?
But yet he just completes the show. He was the missing piece.
He was the missing link, and he's also the missing link between humans and something else.
We don't even know what the something else is, Yes. But you know.
He has his own limoncello. Did you know that?
I did not.
I learned that on Jordan Jesse Go.
Wow. I'll tell you what, though. Whether Danny DeVito is human, subhuman, demi-human.
I did not call him subhuman. Just non-human.
Whatever he is.
I'm not saying that he's less than human. He's just different from human.
Whatever he is, we can agree on one thing. He's funny.
Oh, he's very funny.
And It's Always Sunny is just a fantastic show.
Yes.
You
know who else is funny on there is Charlie.
Oh, Charlie's my favorite character.
He's hilarious. There was, you know, something he did earlier in the season, actually. I was talking about my, you know, confidential TV pilot thing we're working on. I will say Milksteak factors in.
Milksteak will be a part of it.
Just to go over something, you know, we had somebody who was potentially going to be a guest with us who I would have brought this up with. He unfortunately couldn't make it for this segment. But, you know, something he and I would have laughed about. There's a scene earlier in the season where Charlie is out on a date and he orders milk steak in a restaurant.
Yeah.
He asks for milk steak boiled over hard. Then he says, with a side of your finest jelly beans. He pauses, then he adds raw, and laughs. So what this sounds like when you just say it out loud, you know, like milk steak boiled over hard, with a side of your finest jelly beans, raw. The implication there being that not only is he crazy, but raw is a joke to him.
His sense of humor exists on a whole different plane of existence.
Right, because the implication is, I'm not sure whether it's you never cook jelly beans, or when you serve them with milk steak, you never cook them.
Right.
But the implication is that whoever he's ordering from would know that they're going to be raw anyway. That's
right.
Why it's funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the first thing I teach you at Culinary Institute. I just got to say, I loved that they, in the last season, that they kind of revealed that Charlie is apparently this musical genius.
Right, he's a musical genius. He's also illiterate.
Well, yeah. And I want to see how long, you know, they keep that running joke going.
Yes, I expect them to.
But it was just, you know, I was, you know, watching some behind-the-scenes stuff. That is actually him playing. Like, he is that good a piano player.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it just added a whole nother, you know, level of depth to his character, because
he's illiterate. He's a musical genius. Yes. He thinks he's a lawyer. He likes foods that don't exist.
Yeah,
Huff's paint.
Huff's paint out of a sock.
Yes.
He's Green Man.
He is Green Man.
Just an all around fascinating character. I mean, the one character on the show that, you know, is just all around likable. You know.
He's completely unlikable. There's nothing likable
about him. I love him
for that, but, you know.
I mean, you know, but, like, deep down, he's a good person.
He thinks he's a good person.
He's so simple.
More so than anyone else, he thinks he's a good
person.
That's
what I mean. Like, there's no, you know, the other characters on the show, they don't even, you know.
Dennis and Mac and Dee, you know, you can tell that all of them realize that they're horrible people at times,
right.
Charlie, you know, bless his heart, he's just so innocent. He does not know how horrible he is.
Well, okay, I guess I should phrase it. He's the only one who actually has good intentions. From time to time.
I don't even know if his intentions are that good.
His intentions are good.
He thinks they're good.
That's what I'm saying. His intentions are good. I'm not saying they... Well, obviously, that's the joke, is that they don't, you know, they never work out. I mean, he had good intentions, and, you know...
I don't know if his intentions are good. I think he thinks they're good. I don't know if they're actually good.
Well, I mean, you know, let's take the Extreme Home Makeover episode, you know. I think all the other... The other characters on the show were doing that because they wanted to get personal gain out of it, you know.
Right.
Charlie was doing it because he actually wanted to help that, you know, that Mexican family.
Maybe.
I believe it was also Charlie's idea to make the taco shaped bed for the girl in the family.
But was that because he really wanted to help her, or was it because he's crazy and just got obsessed with the idea of a taco-shaped bed?
Well, he's crazy, and he got obsessed with it, but the reason he wanted to do it was for her. It wasn't for him. He was doing that...
I don't think it was for anyone. I think it was for him in so much as he just really wanted there to be a taco-shaped bed.
It was a
bed.
Taco-shaped bed for the sake of a taco-shaped bed.
Right. It's not selfless. It's not selfish.
Okay.
It's just fucking weird.
It's just nuts.
Yeah.
It's just cuckoo bananas.
Exactly.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that pretty much describes a lot of stuff in the show.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just there for the sake of, you know, it's nuts, it's wacky, it's over the top.
Yes.
But, I mean, these kinds of shenanigans, these are the kinds of stuff, you know, that just makes for good television. I mean...
Yeah, no, it does.
I thought, you know, there were a couple episodes this season that fell a little flat to me. I mean, the thing is about Sunny is even when there's a lesser... episode, you know, even when it's a little lower quality, it's still one of the best shows you can see on TV.
Yes.
I mean, it's, you know, we've professed our undying love for Sonny, and if you haven't watched it, you have literally no excuse.
Yeah, go watch it, and everybody who watches it but hasn't seen the Christmas special yet, go watch that so that I can talk about it with people.
Well, that would be me too, so.
Yeah, so right now, Justin, go watch it.
All right.
that was, of course, the theme from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Possibly one of the best comedies on TV.
Yes.
Not possibly. One of the best comedies on TV. Possibly the best.
Possibly.
All right. Well, we're coming up to the halfway point of our show. If anything, we might be a little over due to, you know.
Yeah, well, it may be a bit longer show this week anyway.
Yeah, there's nothing coming after us, so.
I told DJ Tron to expect to start late, so.
Yeah. Well, he's been working long shifts anyways. He's used to it by now.
Yeah.
So we just want to, you know, it's a little part of the show where we plug something, you know, before we go into the halfway point here. I want to go and tell everyone, if you're around UMBC tonight, go see The Crystal Egg at the theater at 8 o'clock tonight. It's an exciting new fusion of computer animation and puppetry based on a story by H.G. Wells. Equal parts sci-fi fantasy and spooky comedy, The Crystal Egg tells the bittersweet tale of old Mr. Cave, a curio shop owner who makes an extraordinary discovery.
Is that discovery an egg?
It's a crystal egg sitting on his dusty shelf. So, good guess there.
Okay. I win.
Good deductive reasoning skills. You win. You still got to go see it, though.
Yeah.
That's 8 o'clock at the theater tonight. $10 general admission, and $5 for students and seniors. So make sure you get there at least 15 minutes. Definitely, I would say well over 15 minutes before it starts, when Evan and I went to see the last show. We kind of ran into problems
with
that. Kiss Kiss, thank you. I don't know why my mind blanked for a second there.
We went to see Kiss Kiss. We ran into problems. We're awesome, though, so we got in anyway.
Yeah, that's just how we do.
That's how we roll.
So, Crystal Egg at the UMBC Theater, 8 o'clock tonight. Go see it.
And also, shout out to Christopher Niang, NG, turning 21 today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
All right, so we're going to play... little Dire Straits for you here. Money for nothing.
And chicks for free.
We got some movies, refrigerators. We got some movies. that's his own hair. The little faggot got his own jet airplane. The little faggot, he's a millionaire. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs.
I'd like some money for nothing.
I'd like some chicks for free.
You might be asking yourself, you know, how can I get money for nothing? How can I get chicks for free? Well, if you've been wondering the answer to this and many other questions, there's a useful resource
Is it located at the local library?
No. Well, there are computers at the local library, so...
So it's located in computers?
It's located in computers.
Is it the MS-DOS prompt?
Try again.
Is it Wave Recorder?
Keep going.
Calculator.
Getting warmer.
Control panel. Accessibility options.
Getting warmer.
I give up.
It's Yahoo Answers.
You got me.
The prime source for the inquisitive mind.
Yes.
On today's television-themed episode of Very Thin Ice, I have been surfing the channels in search for the dumbest answers I can find.
Sounds great.
Well, the dumbest questions.
I will provide the dumbest answers.
We provide the questions. Evan provides the answers. It's a perfect match. We got a great system going on, and I think
yes, we do.
I think you'll enjoy it. So, with that, let's turn to the questions.
Let's go for it.
First question, Evan, resident expert.
Bring it on.
Television. How much you worry about the children in India?
Interesting question. Very good question. Clearly not posed to me. It's posed to television.
If you could speak for television.
If I could speak for television.
Which you are going to.
Right. Well, of course I will. I just want to frame it. You know, I want to be clear here that this was a question being asked of television. So as I answer, I'm not answering on my own behalf. I'm answering on behalf of television.
Right. The views expressed here do not necessarily represent those of Very Thin Ice.
And television does not care about children starving in India.
Heartless.
Because children starving in India... not good for ratings. People don't want to watch children starving in India.
Oh, yeah. You know. Well, you know, there we go. Another pitch for a reality TV show. It's an hour of children starving in India.
Well, I'd say the pitch would be an hour of children not starving in India, because people don't want to see children starving in India.
Yeah, but couldn't you argue that by displaying the horrors of... screw it. I don't care.
In these starving children makeovers.
There you go.
Here's the show title.
Stream Makeover: Starving Children in India Edition.
I was gonna go with okay. What not to wear while you're starving in India as a child.
There you go. I don't want to walk over your ideas there.
So
we could have two compete. There you go. Two competing episodes.
Absolutely.
Programs about
competition
children
breeds
starving.
Excellence.
There you go.
Excellence.
That's our motto here.
Competition breeds egg salad.
Next question. This actually would have made a good tune, but what movie or television star do you think would be a horrible rapper?
All of them. I hope they hear me.
I wasn't too creative. Come on, man.
Really?
Rack the brain a little bit.
Alec Baldwin?
You don't think Alec Baldwin would be a...
He would be a horrible rapper.
That's why his film career has been a failure.
Because he's too focused on the rapping.
Yeah, you know. Stop, you know, take a second out from, you know, dropping rhymes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mention anybody and I'm going to say yes to it.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, a better question would be, okay, a legitimate question would be what rapper might make a
decent film star.
A decent television or film star. Which there are a couple.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
Ice-T has, you know, made that jump over to Law & Order.
Yeah, I think this questioner is trying to turn the tables here, but not realizing that it's not a one-to-one relationship.
Well, they're also asking it the wrong way, because saying, you know, if they said what film or star or TV star would make a good rapper,
well, then you actually have to think about
that. That would have been like a decent question to ask. Would make a horrible rapper? The answer is all of them.
Yeah, just take your pick.
Really, anybody could make a horrible rapper. Even good rappers could be horrible if they wanted to.
Yeah,
it's easier to be a horrible rapper.
It's, you know, it's just not as good for business.
Right.
But, you know, television or film stars, they don't really need to worry about that. So
yeah.
Any television or film star could be a horrible rapper, according to you.
If they just put themselves to it.
If you just put your mind to it.
Right. Next question.
All right. Is television a furniture or an appliance?
Ooh, wonderful question.
Question for the ages.
Yes. The answer is that actually television is an automobile.
Really?
Yes. Which is why it is illegal to have a television. Because you're supposed to keep that in the garage. You can't just have that in your living room.
It's illegal to park an automobile in your living room?
Yes.
Who's writing these laws?
The government.
God. See, this is why we need, you know, two intrepid young radio stars
to take down Tan Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. God damn it, Tan Jimmy Carter.
I know.
Just telling us where we can and can't put our automobiles?
Yeah, you know, if I want to park my car in Harvard Yard, I should be allowed to.
I'm going
to
write a political cartoon, and it's going to say, "Don't tread on me," and it's going to be a picture of an automobile.
Tire tread.
Yeah.
Being driven by Jimmy Carter.
Through Jimmy Carter's living room.
Yes.
Well, he sits by.
That sounds lovely.
Making terrible legislation.
Yes. Actually, it should say, "Tread on me."
Yeah.
"Don't tread on me" implies that you side with the government there.
That's true. This is why we're a good team.
Yeah.
You're here to edit me.
You're here to come up with all of the ideas, and I'm here to tell you why they're wrong. In the last minute.
You're here to fix them and make them good.
Yes.
Next question. What TV shows are the best for learning different fight styles? And I have to mention styles is spelled STILES. What TV shows are the best for learning different fight styles and self-defense techniques?
Okay, so clearly this questioner is trying to fight a guy named Styles.
Ryan Styles from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Perhaps. It could be any Styles. But probably Ryan Styles. So what show is best for learning how to fight Ryan Styles? That would be the Drew Carey Show. Would be the best show for learning how to fight Ryan Styles. Pay attention to his mannerisms on there. Because on Whose Line, he's in his element.
That's true.
But on Drew Carey's show, you can see him slipping up sometimes. Pay attention to his mannerisms, and you can check out his weaknesses.
Yeah, watch Drew Carey's show, and then hide in the shadows, strike at his weak points,
right,
like a snake.
Well, yeah, you want to go for the weak points, obviously. They're the ones that are glowing red.
Right. Well, everyone knows that.
Yeah. I'm reiterating.
The Yahoo answer questioner didn't have to ask that, because we all know.
Right, but I have to say it.
That's true. You can't make too many assumptions about what your audience does and does not know.
Right, because clearly they're asking questions on Yahoo Answers.
Right. But just for the record, just in case you were somehow not aware of it, Ryan Styles has giant glowing red weak points,
yes,
all over his body.
And that's where you want to hit him.
Next question.
Yes.
Let's see. Actually, this is the final question. Why?
But also the next question.
It is the next and is the last.
Next and final question.
It is the Omega and the
Omega
letter that comes right before Omega.
No. It is not the penultimate. The last question was the penultimate question. This is the last question.
Okay. Why do spiders journey out from behind the television shortly after midnight?
Because they like late-night programming. They don't really care for, you know, the Tonight Show. They want the late show, you know?
Which late night host do you think spiders prefer?
Carson Daly.
Carson Daly?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. That's the problem, is that only spiders are watching the show.
Yeah, spiders don't really count in the ratings.
Yes, spiders are not Nielsen families.
No.
That's one of the requirements for Nielsen's families. They ask you, are you a spider?
Yeah, it's
if you check yes, they just ignore everything else.
They actually... You are not allowed to own a Nielsen box if they think you're going to build a web inside of it.
Yes.
Or lay eggs in it.
Yes.
So, for the record, Nielsen families, not spiders.
Not spiders. Spiders love Carson Daly.
We're an educational show.
Yes.
So give us our educational grant.
Yes.
Because we're teaching people.
We want money.
Yeah.
Give us money.
We need more money so that we can come up with more educational material like this.
Yes, that's sure. That's why we need the money.
And that, folks, is Yahoo Answers.
Yes, it is
for today. So I hope you all learned a lesson from that. There's take your pick. There's so many to choose from. But let me give you another lesson here, and that is to throw away your television.
show now. It's a repeat. It's a repeat. It's a repeat. It's a repeat. It's a repeat.
And that was Throw Away Your Television by Red Hot Chili Peppers. This show, on the other hand, is not a repeat.
Yes, and it's also not by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right. The distinction is quite clear.
Yes.
So we're back. We're here on this this television-themed episode.
Yes, and you know, you can't talk about television without talking about television themes.
Because many, many great shows have been defined by their theme song.
Right.
If you don't have a good theme song, you might as well just pack it in right from the start.
Yeah.
So what, Evan, to you, makes a good theme song?
Well, let me show you what I think is a good theme song.
Okay, yeah, let's...
Let's go with what I think is one of the best theme songs of all time. All
right.
And that would be the MASH theme. Now, in the show itself, the theme was played instrumentally. People say that that's, you know, most people agree that that's... Because the lyrics are a bit, downer.
Sad sax.
I'm going to play it in a moment, but the song is called Suicide is Painless. It was originally played in the MASH movie. So let's get into the song. We can talk about it afterwards.
Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld for me, I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please.
Kind of depressing. Suicide is painless. I can take
the game of life is hard to play.
Very well, it's
you're gonna lose it anyway. The losing card on
kind of like Hitch a Ride by Boston.
This is all I have to
also
say.
Very mellow song. No, not a TV scene.
Suicide is painless.
This is a song.
It brings on many changes. I can take or leave it if I please. The sword of time will pierce our skin.
This is where it gets weirder.
It doesn't hurt
when it begins.
But as it works its way on in, the pain grows stronger. Watch it grin. Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes.
It'd be weirder still when it turns never.
And I can take or leave it.
Folks, FYI, we're not suggest mandating suicide. We're not suicide with this song.
Once requested me to answer questions that are key. Is it to be or not to be? I replied, oh, why ask me? Suicide is painless.
Of course, did break out the tambourine. I'm not putting the song down. I enjoy it very much. I'm a big fan of MASH. But it's a bit of an odd song.
Yeah, I got the tambourine in one hand and the sword of time in the other.
Right. Threatening some man who's asking him questions. Here's the part where it tells you you can feel yourself if you like.
If you please.
Once
that's one of my favorite TV themes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite shows, and it has one of my favorite themes, you know, so.
And apparently a classic, you know, fixture of American television that I've somehow managed to avoid my entire 21 years of existence.
Yeah, I don't know how, A, how you can avoid MASH, and B, how you can appreciate Alan Alda if you've never seen MASH.
I honestly, I guess I can't.
Well, you should remedy that so that you can appreciate Alan Alda, because he is wonderful.
Honestly, 30 Rock's the only thing I've seen him in, so...
Even in 30 Rock, there were MASH references.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I just, I'm missing out a whole aspect of even my favorite shows now, just because... this is your fault, MASH.
No, it's your fault for not watching MASH. Do not blame MASH.
That song really got me down.
Oh, you want me to get you back up with another one of my favorite songs?
Yeah, play something livelier, man.
All right, let's go lively here.
We're sad. It's the opposite of lively.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's what I'm trying to get away
radio.
From.
Live radio. Never know what'll happen when I accidentally
I need
leave
pick
a song
me up.
And repeat.
I need a pick-me-up, Evan.
Let's pick you up.
Oh.
This is the Big O, done in a style that is either a ripoff of or a tribute to Queen, especially the Flash Gordon theme song.
It's pretty much exactly the Flash Gordon theme.
If the Flash Gordon theme is just Flash Gordon.
Do we have the Flash? Let me see if I have it online. No, I don't. Oh, you can YouTube that too.
I think I've already heard it by listening to this.
Yeah, that's true. You don't really need to hear Flash. Just picture the same exact music. So I'm assuming Big O is the name of the robot.
I didn't really mean.
Oh. I thought you did, because...
Yeah, but let me read you the lyrics from that theme.
All right.
This is the English translation of the lyrics, of course. This song was in English, but... Well, not all, but I'm going to... Part of the song was in English, part was not. I'm going to translate into English all of it. Light a light, dying me with words, ye God. Big O. Big O. O. Big O, Big O, Big O, Big O. Cast in the name of God, ye not the guilty. We have came to team, Big O. Swear an eternal oath to this city that lost all of its past. Light a light in a lonely heart, dying me with words. Big O, Big O, Big O, Big O, Big O. Big O, Big O, 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 Big O. Big O, Big O, 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 Big O. Big O, Big O, Big O, Big O.
Wow, the only thing that was missing was some guy slapping a bongo in the booth.
Yeah. So that is the theme to Big O, another one of my favorite themes.
A little emo there at the beginning, but...
Well, death words, ye God...
I mean, what we just listen.
Light a light in a lonely heart.
Yeah, dude, I thought I asked for a pick me up.
Well, I gave you a pick me up, and then I told you what it really meant.
You
picked you up. I brought you back down. It's an emotional roller coaster.
Play some Happy Days for me, just a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Just so.
Just a little bit. Let me cue that up here.
We're quickly turning into a music request show here on Very Thin Ice. Except it's just me requesting.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
There we go.
I didn't actually get to hear them sing.
I gave you 1 week worth of happy days, okay?
I didn't actually get to hear them say happy. Well, I got to see
you got
them
to hear
say
them happy
days,
days
they said
over
it repeatedly.
And over.
I didn't get to hear the core. Okay, whatever.
I'll give you a week's worth.
You gave me what I asked for.
Yes.
I
gave you 7 happy days.
You did. I thought the line was cruising all week with you.
I don't know.
Whatever. So yeah.
But, you know, speaking of Queen doing theme songs, we were talking about, not only did they do Flash Gordon, they also did Princes of the Universe, which is the Highlander theme.
Oh, that one I was not as aware of.
No, have you not watched the Highlander TV show?
It might be one of those shows I've, like, watched once, like, flipping through channels, sort of like, you know, Hercules or Xena, just...
Highlander is one of my favorite TV shows. The action, maybe my favorite action TV show.
Is it up there with, how does it compare to Hercules and Xena?
I never really cared
for
Hercules.
How does
Hercules
it compare to Beastmaster?
Never really watched Beastmaster.
Let me just say, that's my watermark, that's my benchmark for every TV show. How does it compare to Beastmaster?
I have not watched Beastmaster, so I can't tell you.
Well, then you clearly can't be a television critic.
Well, you can't, not having seen MASH.
Well, how does MASH compare to Beastmaster?
How does Beastmaster compare to MASH?
We've entered a zone of negation here.
Well, I know it can get us out of it. I was saving this, you know, just in case, and I think we're going to have to use it.
Just in case we entered the zone of negation?
We need a strong theme song, wouldn't you say?
We need something bold.
Cartoon theme song, something bold. How about we go with the often forgotten Stargate Infinity Saturday morning cartoon theme song?
Yeah, boy, is that often forgotten.
Yes. Willfully, generally. Here we go. That was the Stargate Infinity theme song.
Wow. I think my mind just broke from watching that.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about something that we both know we're going to get very passionate about.
Right.
Mad TV.
Ooh, Mad TV. It makes me so mad.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Which is why I just kind of ignored it. But, does anyone like Mad TV?
Yes.
Anywhere?
And it's a problem.
Who likes Mad TV?
People who don't have very refined senses of humor, I imagine. And to be fair, there have been some good people on Mad TV.
That's the thing about Mad TV. I feel like everyone on Mad TV is just an inferior version of someone on SNL.
With a couple exceptions.
With a few exceptions. There's maybe one or two people on Mad TV that I actually like. Otherwise...
I'm trying to, you know, protect, Andy Daly here.
I'll also put my support behind Will Sasso.
Which one is he?
He's the fat, bald guy.
Okay.
He does Kenny Rogers a lot.
You know, I can't say I'm the biggest fan of him, but that's we've discussed this before.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily judge him by the Kenny Rogers impression.
I'm just not an impressions guy.
He's actually one of the... He's probably one of the best. He's been on some other shows.
Right. He does a lot of impressions, and I'm just... Impressions don't excite me.
Why not? Why is that?
I don't know. I guess I feel like... We live in a time where everything is so immediate. If I want to see, you know, I'm blanking on names now. Wow, I'm horrible at this. If I want to see Christopher Walken, I can just pull up a YouTube video of Christopher Walken. I don't need to see somebody else pretending to be Christopher Walken.
Yeah, but I mean, a true impression artist can do Christopher Walken better than Christopher Walken.
You know, I guess I don't see this. This isn't, you know, me making a judgment against other people enjoying this stuff. This is just me pointing out why I don't.
Okay.
You know, to me, Christopher Walken's voice isn't funny. It's, you know, and if the idea of Christopher Walken doing something is funny, then it could just as easily be done in first person as an impression as it could be in third person by someone who's a good storyteller. And I'd probably enjoy somebody who's a good storyteller telling the story more than somebody, you know, being like, oh, I'm Christopher Walken.
Well, that wouldn't be a very good impression, now, would it? Because it just sounded like you saying that.
No, it wouldn't, but you understand my point.
Well,
I may be the one person in the world who doesn't do a Christopher Walken impression.
We don't need to get into a qualitative analysis.
I'm not saying Will Sasso is bad.
Impressions.
I'm not a big impressionist fan. And I'm also not a fan of impressionism when it comes to art. I really hate impressionism.
Oh, well, no, I'll get behind. Screw those guys.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, like people always try to tell me, oh, you know, you got to give it more time. I can appreciate that it was important. I'd rather look at, you know, something else.
If there was a boat full of Mad TV cast members and impressionist artists, wouldn't save them.
If Andy Daly was on there,
I'd rescue Andy Daly and maybe Will Sasso too. Everyone else, I'd probably just let them sink.
Right.
You know, I mean, Mad TV is really weighed down by all the, it's just coded in terrible shtick.
Right.
So they'd probably sink faster. They've sank faster than I could hope to rescue them. Is it off the air yet?
I'm double checking. I believe it is.
Yeah, I want to say it ended recently, like maybe last year.
Yeah, it lasted for like 14 seasons.
Though. Which is 14 seasons
looks like
too many.
It may still be running.
Really?
It ran at least into 2009. I don't know if it's been canceled, but it at least made it to 2009.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about Mad TV cast members being just inferior clones of SNL actors.
Right.
Let's see for example.
Well, Aries Spears is a poor man's Tracy Jordan.
Right.
Tracy Morgan, rather.
Yeah. I think it's Michael something. Is it Michael?
Michael McDonald.
Yeah, I was going to say Michael McDonald. Isn't Michael McDonald also like a pop singer?
I don't know.
I don't know, but Michael McDonald is the Mad TV version of Will Ferrell.
Yes, except he relies on the same, you know, sad characters even more.
Yeah, just God, terrible. Bobby Lee, I've actually seen. I think I've seen him do other stuff, and he was actually okay. But on Mad TV, his characters are just
his characters are horrible stereotypes. And I have to say, I believe he's a friend of Carlos Mencia, which
I would believe that
worries me a little.
But I would
like
just say
when I've seen him just by himself, he seems all right. But
yeah.
I cannot stand any character he plays on Mad TV.
Miss Swan is my least favorite part of Mad TV.
That's not Bobby Lee.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
That was what's her name? Alex Borstein.
No, the Asian, it's Bobby Lee.
No, it's Alex Borstein.
No, it's not.
It definitely is.
Click Bobby Lee. He's the kind of the pudgy.
I know
Asian
who Bobby Lee is and who Alex Borstein is. Again, you know, wonderful live radio. We're just having a breakdown here.
Well, because I know I'm right.
I know I'm right. Borstein was perhaps best known on Mad TV for her character Ms. Swan.
Okay, what did Bobby Lee do?
I don't know.
Ms.
Swan, Alex Borstein. Ms. Swan or Ms. Swan, depending on how you phrase it.
Well, then he's done some other terrible character.
He absolutely has done other terrible characters, but that particular character was Alex Borstein, which upsets me because Alex Borstein, you know, she can be very funny, but on Mad TV, she was not.
You know, I'm actually kind of amazed at how contentious this Mad TV topic is. This was supposed to be the topic where we could both like.
Well, it's not contentious. You're just wrong.
Well, I'm saying it's getting us into a lot of arguments.
I've noticed you still haven't admitted that you were wrong. You still seem to think that somehow you're right.
I feel like I've seen him do that character.
If he did that character, he did it after Alex Borstein. That is Alex Borstein's character, and any time I've ever seen it, it was Alex Borstein.
Let's see. It's really not.
Okay. This will settle it. Yahoo Answers, who plays Ms. Swan on Mad TV? You, before this loads, you agree and shake my hand that we will abide by whatever the answer appears to be.
If Yahoo Answers says it, it has to be. All right.
All right.
I just shook his hand.
Okay. Best answer. Okay, wait, let me read the full question first. Who plays Ms. Swan off of Mad TV? Me and my sister are arguing who she is. She thinks that it is Bobby Lee, but I disagree. Best answer chosen by voters. No, it's not Bobby Lee. It's a woman. Alex Borstein is her name, I believe.
All right. I will concede. I was wrong on that regard. But apparently, I don't feel too bad because apparently I wasn't the only one.
Right. You weren't the only one. So you are... Oh, there you go. You're just like the average Yahoo Answers question asker.
That's how I'm so good at finding them.
Right.
I'm just saying it's still...
Wait, all these questions you've been asking me, are they just your questions?
No, Evan, they were not. All right.
I don't know.
Give me a little more credit than that.
I don't know. I'm going to have to wonder.
I'm still marveling at the whole point. The Mad TV topic was supposed to be something like we both equally agree on how much we both hate Mad TV.
Yes, yeah, so we do both hate it.
Yeah, we both hate it. Both with a passion, probably equally so. It's amazing
that's much. Why this has been so contentious, because we're both so passionate about it.
That's true. I guess you know, a whole 15 minutes of us just agreeing back and forth. You know what I hate? Mad TV. You know what I hate too? Also Mad TV.
High five over hating Mad TV.
Let's there we go. High five right there. All right. So we hate Mad TV sucks.
Mad TV sucks. Ms. Swan is Alex Borstein.
Ms. Swan is Alex Borstein.
Bobby Lee has talent but doesn't use it on Mad TV.
And Will Sasso and Andy Daly we probably save from a sinking ship.
I definitely save Andy Daly.
Yeah.
Andy Daly, no question, he is wonderful. You know.
Well, I really like Will Sasso. Just he's a lot heavier and probably be. I don't think I could drag him.
I'm not opposing saving Will Sasso. I'm just saying
if someone a little stronger than me wants to save Will Sasso,
I'm busy saving Andy Daly.
All right, I'm gonna have to get someone else then.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know how much Andy Daly weighs, but it's really not relevant to the grand scheme.
We could check on Yahoo Answers, but it's not.
We've wasted enough time on the internet today.
Yes,
I think.
Yes, we have.
Let's play a song instead.
Andy Daly, of course, has a.
I think you were under the impression that I had the song.
What? I was under that impression. Is it not correct?
That was not correct.
I can get it.
I actually do not have
full time. Dance, monkey, dance. No, I gotta look up the song here. Why don't you talk?
Right. You wouldn't if people wouldn't rather hear me
they would
sing
not rather
circus
hear you
music.
Sing. No, they would not.
So you know what I hate?
Mad TV?
Yeah, that Mad TV, but that's, that's all right. Sketch shows, though, I feel like, I don't know.
Well, sketch shows, I picked up recently the full series of Mr. Show, and that's a wonderful
sketch
show.
I'm thinking Mr. Show is fantastic. You know what else I'm a big fan of? Is Whitest Kids You Know.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of it, but I enjoyed it. I was going to say The State was great. Apparently I'm stuck in the 90s when it comes to sketch shows.
Well, it's okay. Kids in the Hall, that was a 90s one, too.
Yeah.
And that was great. That's what I'm saying.
It was like Saturday Night Live's gay Canadian cousin.
There you go. I feel like the 90s was kind of...
Kind of gay, kind of Canadian.
A little bit. We don't need to get into a Canada discussion again, but I was going to say I feel like sketch comedy may have peaked a little bit in the 90s. Like, I don't think it's... Whitest Kids You Know is probably... It's on now, so that's probably...
Little Britain
the exception,
is real good.
But I haven't seen that.
You ought to.
But I just... Yeah, it's Mr. Show and, Kids in the Hall and, still good SNL. Those were the trademarks of the 90s, I think sketch comedy has kind of fallen a little bit.
Right. Some people think that SNL's gotten really good again. I think that not that I'm opposed to where it's going now, but it seems to just be like all designed to be YouTube clips.
Yeah, I saw all these newfangled actors on it. Just
I don't have anything against Andy Samberg, but I also if I'm going to sit down and watch TV, I want to sit down and watch TV, not sit down and watch
YouTube
you know,
clips.
A bunch of, you know, 15 YouTube clips one after another.
So not a fan of G4 then?
No. And not a fan of Tosh.0.
Okay.
Really not a fan of Tosh.0.
Oh, God, I think
it's like the new Carlos Mencia in terms of how much I dislike it.
Oh, man, if there's one thing we don't need, it's another Carlos Mencia.
Well, if there's one thing we don't need, it's Matt TV.
Up, Laurie smacks you.
Okay, that's not the right thing to play.
That was great. You had that perfect lead in there, and then
all around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces. Bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. The tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow, no tomorrow. No tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. For the day they feel good. Happy birthday, happy birthday.
There's little that would be scarier than an entire world of Mad TV.
Well, that's what Comedy Central is like mid-morning.
Yeah, you know, it used to be Comedy Central played old SNL.
No, it's just
and it was great. And, you know, I got a little tired of it. I was always thinking, you know, man, I wish I could watch new SNL. Then they switched over to only new SNL, and I was like, man, I miss old SNL. Then they switched over to Mad TV, and it's like, man, I miss
God
any
help us all.
SNL.
Now I don't – is there any source now for old SNL? Like –
Internet, I guess.
Yeah, it's like...
Or those DVD box sets they put up.
But nowhere, like, on TV now?
I don't believe it's played anywhere on TV.
That's a sad state of affairs when you can't see old SNL.
Yeah. Well, what do you watch instead, then?
I've got, you know... Well, we talked about 30 Rock, we talked about It's Always Sunny. I've also got a lot of, I guess what you might call guilty pleasures.
Oh, yes?
Shows that I know are not good.
I wouldn't call it that. I don't have guilty pleasures. I live my life shamelessly.
We know.
Yeah.
We know. We've established that.
My favorite movie is Skin Deep. If you've seen Skin Deep, you understand what I'm saying.
Shame is not a concept that exists in the world of Evan Rosenberg.
No, it is not.
And I'm not saying I'm ashamed of watching these shows. I mean, I am announcing to everyone in Radio Land.
Right.
That I watch these shows, but I do realize that they're not what you would call good you know, quality television.
So what kind of shows are you talking about?
Well,
Willis?
I would say top of the list would be Lost. I'm a huge Lostie. Just the fact that I used the term Lostie.
I did not know that was a term.
Is, you know, that I'm a little ashamed of. But
That's a thing, a Lostie?
That's what Lost, a lot of Lost fans call themselves. But I realized that Lost, really not a great show. It started out, like, if you looked at, you know, just the first season, first couple episodes, then you could, you know, you could say, without argument, that it was a good show. Like, it started out very high-quality show.
I've seen the first couple episodes. I don't know that it started out high quality or it started out with, like, oh, wow, something's happening here. And then you get six seasons in and you're like, oh, wait, something still has not happened.
Something, you know. Well, that's not – you can't complain that. You certainly – if there's one thing that can accusation that could not be leveled at Lost, it's that nothing happens. If anything, it's that too much happens.
Well, it essentially becomes the same thing.
The thing is I kind of like take a – well, I wouldn't call it pride, but the fact that no one else has any idea, it's like a badge of honor. Like, if you miss one episode of Lost, like, you can't miss an episode of Lost or you have no idea what's going on. In fact, even if you see every episode, you still probably don't know what's going on.
It's like playing a Metal Gear game.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect analogy right there. Like, Metal Gear fans are, you know, they're a proud race of people.
Sure.
I'm also a Metal Gear fan, so. And I'm also willing to admit that those games are, you know. Well, I wouldn't put it in the same. I would say they're still good games. They're just.
I don't know that I'd call them games. I mean, I love those movies.
Yeah.
You know, I get excited whenever Kojima puts out another Metal Gear movie.
Don't
I get to press a couple buttons during it, sure.
Please, Evan, don't give Hideo Kojima ideas.
Oh, no, and there's two coming out soon.
Two
more Metal Gear movies coming out, one on PSP and one that's going to be on
4 was supposed to be the last one. He announced it as, like, being the last one.
I thought you were a Metal Gear fan. You don't know about Metal Gear Rising?
I haven't played
Starring
4.
Starring Raiden?
I didn't know. Okay.
I haven't beaten 4. But
let's rewind. Let's take this back a step. I used to be a Metal Gear fan.
Okay.
Apparently, I'm not anymore.
Get yourself a PS3.
I'm considering it. When the Slim comes out.
The Slim's been out for months.
When the Slim has been out for long enough that I find it somewhere really cheap.
It's never going to be cheap because Sony likes to keep things at the same price and just add things to them, or even better, keep things at the same price and remove features from them.
Yeah. I probably won't be buying a PS3 anytime soon. There aren't really enough games on there that I want to play. Anyways, my point is that Metal Gear, like Lost, well, actually, that was the point you made. Metal Gear, like Lost, is it's something that you kind of appreciate it for, you know.
Metal Gear, like Lost, you get the idea that even the creators don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, and I don't want to give away spoilers, but I'm, you know, if you're working your way through Lost, you know what? I'm just going to do it anyways. If people want to call in angrily, if they're working their way through the DVDs right now, let me just say I'm about to give you some spoilers, but for the sake of this bit, I think it's still worth it to tell you. So, spoiler warning right now: don't listen if you don't want to know what happens at the end of last season of Lost. So by the third or fourth season of Lost, I was like, okay, this show is cuckoo bananas. This show is nuts. The only way they can possibly end this show is by, like, nuking the island and killing everyone on it. That's the only way I can see that the creators could actually, like, tie off these storylines. So guess what happens at the end, on the last episode of last season of Lost?
Pizza party.
Close. They set off a hydrogen bomb. And I was, like, called that. Nailed that. I, like you, am secretly writing TV. There's the problem is I'm writing bad shows your writing, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I've got Curb Your Enthusiasm and 30 Rock. You've got Lost.
I've got Lost and...
2.5 Men.
No. I traded in my... and that's another thing. I actually started out watching 2.5 Men. I watched it when it first started.
That's how you started out as a TV watcher. You know, back in the day, I started out with 2.5 Men.
Started was also like one of my favorite shows.
I also called that Heroes was going to become
suck.
Awful.
I called that too. I'm like, even before the writer struck away, yeah, something. This isn't going to last. It's too good.
I knew that was going to happen when they refused to let Siler either die or become a good guy.
Yeah.
The fact that they keep insisting on having Siler as a villain.
Well.
You can kill him off. You can have him become a good guy. You can't keep him as the villain.
Oh, I knew it was. It had already gone till when they spent 3 episodes with Hiro in feudal Japan when they could have done that in 1.
Yeah, those weren't so awful. I loved Heroes in the first season, and I even have the second season on Blu-ray just because I was hoping that it would just...
Second season was...
I'll tell you, I was hoping that the series would get better in the future, and I wouldn't feel right owning, 1, 3, 4. I would need 1, 2, 3, 4. 3, I'd never got around to buying.
The thing is, second season was as bad as the first season was good.
Fourth season I haven't been watching, I gotta be honest.
I started at the third season. I'm like, all right, I'll give this a chance. If it hasn't gotten any better, I'm done. Within 10 minutes of the season premiere of season 3, I was like, yep, we're done.
I wish they had replaced Heroes with Kings and kept Kings going. Kings was a wonderful series, and if they want a Monday night drama, Kings would have done it so well.
Yeah, well, the thing is with Heroes season 2, Tim Kring, the creator of Heroes, actually publicly apologized for how bad season 2 was.
Right.
He's like, yep, guys, drop the ball on this one. Keep watching, though.
Yeah, when they say, there were all these promises, hey, we're going to have, interludes written by Kevin, Kevin Smith is going to write an episode of, Heroes Origins and all this and that, and they never came through with it.
Yeah, I mean, Heroes is a lost cause, I'm afraid, much like, well, Lost, but I'm still going to be eagerly anticipating the return of Lost next season, which is supposed to be the last season.
Finally.
So apparently the creators have a set, they had a set story arc all along, and they plan.
I've heard them claim that, and I've heard them say that they've been playing it by ear as well. I'm inclined to think that they write it episode to episode.
Whatever they're doing, I don't really care. It's still, I'll still keep watching, just because, this, they may have jumped the shark, so to speak. They may have, nuked the fridge. They may have launched the monkey out of a cannon this season with time travel, but it was honestly one of the most entertaining seasons of television I've watched.
I haven't seen it all, so I don't know.
The other kind of guilty pleasure for me is Entourage.
Right.
Because I love that show, too.
I've seen a couple episodes. I can't get into it. I always hear it described as Sex in the City for men. And I've never really wanted Sex in the City, so it doesn't appeal to me.
I've never seen Sex in the City, but I love Entourage just because it's not good television, but it's fun to watch. It's a fun show to watch. And you're probably, anyone who's seen Entourage, you're probably familiar with this sound.
Superhero, or even if I tumble fall. Chances super low. My pretty name.
you super red. You're steady, Beck and Cole boy, playing on piano. I'm a hero, I'm not afraid to tumble or
And that was, of course, Superhero by Jane's Addiction, which is the theme song to the hit HBO television program Entourage. One of my guilty pleasures.
Right. And as I've established, I have no guilty pleasures. Anyway, that takes us to the end of this week's Very Thin Ice. We're getting close to the end of season one here.
We are.
But before that happens, next week we're going to be having our very special holiday episode. As Hanukkah actually begins during our broadcast time next week.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, like you said, have a candle lighting ceremony here in the booth.
We may light candles on air. We may spin dreidels on air. Who knows what we'll do?
May exchange gifts or chocolate gelt.
Yeah, or gilt. We'll exchange gilt on the air.
All right, next week.
Absolutely, we will exchange gilt on the air.
Wouldn't be the holidays without it.
Right, right. So, all right. But as I said, that's our episode for this week. We're going to send you out on a classic little song from The Muppet Show, Menomina.
Menomina. Menomina. Menomina.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do